Good evening and welcome to the Gypsy Feud Talk Radio Show. I hope all of you had a good day today, and I would like to introduce a fine young man and a very talented one as well, Mr. Sean Vallis.
Hi, Gypsy. How are you today?
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
How are you doing today?
Very good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm so happy you're here. I'd like to start off by asking you, Sean, what inspired you to become an artist?
Well, I guess when I was younger, you know, my father would just, when I was really young, 6 years old or something like that, my dad would just have me start to draw and everything, and I took an acclimation to it pretty quickly, and I guess from there I just stuck with it, and as I progressed, I started to learn more and more about art and just realized that it's really what I need to do in life, and it's just, you know, I guess
that's
pretty
great.
Much how I really started going, yeah.
That's great. Does your father draw as well?
He sketches a little bit, but he's actually, he's somewhat into the art field. He's a printer, so he deals a lot with color and, you know, more of like a graphic type of thing. But my grandfather was very artistic. He did oil paintings, and he was a musician. He made a lot of jingles, and he was actually pretty close friends with George Gershwin. He's a pianist from Brooklyn, I think.
He was very famous back when.
Yeah.
Great because you know the talent just runs down the line, you know.
Yeah, I hope so. You know, I hope it really picks up in me as it did in him. You know.
Yeah, that's really cool. So, how long, Sean, have you been studying art now?
Well, minus the early childhood years, I guess officially I've been really studying for the past 8 years, going to school for it, and just about coming to the end of my my degree as far for my bachelor's, and I'm thinking about furthering my education, but maybe a little bit, you know, take a little break or something. It's about 8 years.
I see. And what kind of art do you do?
Well, I study oil painting and charcoal drawing, and I want to start to get further into sculpting, but I've always had like a desire to sculpt clay or do like relief carving. But, you know, as for right now, I do a lot of charcoal drawings, oil paintings, and I study traditional subject matter, if you will, like whether it's figurative or landscape, abstract. I mean, like my personal preference once I get out of school is to really start to explore surrealism, things like with optical illusion or, you know, kind of to address more of the concepts of the subconscious and stuff like that, you know.
Well, that sounds very interesting, and I'm sure you're very talented enough to do that. That would be great to see.
Thank you.
Now, if someone wanted to get in touch with you to see your art, see what, you know, you're all about, how would they do that, Sean?
Well, I have a website under construction. So temporarily I have my art posted on a DeviantArt forum. So the website to go to that webpage would be supernova creepshow, and it's .deviantart.com.
Okay, and how about your email address in case somebody wanted to talk to you about something?
Yeah, I do take personal commissions, and so if anyone was interested in inquiring about that, you could email me directly at www.eninecii@gmail.com.
Oh, okay, that's good. For those of you that didn't get that, Sean, could you repeat that slowly again?
Sure. It's my personal email is eninecii@gmail.com, and the DeviantArt webpage is www.supernova.com.
Cool. Cool. Well, you know, I heard that you studied in Spain for a while.
Yeah, actually, I studied in Spain and Italy. In Spain, I primarily studied art history, so I went to a lot of, the major sites, the Alhambra in Granada and Barcelona and stuff. And then in Italy, I studied painting, where it was a plein air painting where we'd It was in Corciano, which is a little bit north of Perugia, and in Umbria. And we would just, we'd set up out in different local locations and with our easels and learn about how to paint on site, on location, and observe nature, structures, architecture, cityscapes. And we just really focus on atmospheric perspective and, all the artistic terminologies that you would, get into. But it was a great experience. I got to see a lot of, Italy and learn the culture and see all the good sites and all the good cities. It was great.
So, now you've been to Spain and you've been to Italy. Did you prefer any, which country, or were they both different, or were they
I was,
same?
I was in Italy longer than Spain, and so I really got a better sense of the culture and the people, and I got to see some really amazing sites in Italy that Italy is the center of the Renaissance, if you will, and so it was just like, for an artist, it was one of those things, like seeing the David, it was so overwhelming. I mean, there were some things in Spain that were phenomenal. The Sagrada La Familia was an amazing, the church that's being built in Barcelona. But overall, I would have to say that Italy, I think, was definitely takes the cake.
Oh, really? And
yeah.
Is there a certain spot in Italy you would go back to?
Well, I mean, Venice was just unbelievable. Unbelievable. Like, it just has it's just so crazy to be there. And, you always see it in the pictures. It's such a famous part of the world. And then when you're actually there, walking through the canal, the sidewalks of the canals, and then going over the bridges crossing the canals, and I was actually there for one of the one festival of the year where they have all the fireworks and stuff, and they extend this huge bridge across the Grand Canal, and it's linking one side to the other. And I mean, really, honestly, I was only in the northern part of Italy. The further south I went was Rome, which is about half, midway. But
mm-hmm,
I guess
mm-hmm.
Venice was a beautiful city. I definitely think it's a place that everyone should try to visit at least once.
Well, I heard that too, and I'm just ready to go.
Yeah. Pack your bags. I'll go back.
That's right. Now, also, I heard that you just created an album cover for some upcoming group that's coming out. Right?
Yeah, that's correct. My friend, for many years, he's an amazing and very talented rap artist named John Blake, and I think that's the name he goes by, John Blake. He came to me looking. He knew about me being involved with painting and drawing, and he approached me, and I listened to his album and saw that it's just a phenomenal work that he's put into it, and I felt that it was as good for me to create work for that as it was for him. Like, we complimented each other, and mm-hmm. so it was called One Shot, and it was good.
So it's called One Shot. What did you create actually on the cover?
Well, he came to me and he was like, I don't know about the art thing too much as far as like ideas. He's like, I want something with like, it's a play on words. Like, it's one shot at making it big, but it's also, some of the hits were about liquor and stuff. So what I did was I the viewpoint is, like a first-person view of like you holding a shot glass out to a bar, and then there's a figure in silhouette pouring the shot. So there are parts of, that's what I came to. I had a couple of options from the choose from, and he liked that one. And then I kind of drew it up so that, parts of like the hand and the glass are really refined and look very realistic, and then I have part of like the alcohol being poured look more graphic in slow motion, as if you were like kind of having like, drunken vision. And then, I kind of pushed that even further as to like the silhouette being very abstracted so that it really feels kind of like you're in this club, in this environment with heavy feeling going on, and you're just all drunk and just in that moment of, listening to, rap music or good music in the club, or if you will, or wherever, and just being in that moment and feeling the way you would feel by looking through the artwork,
Well, sounds really great. I can't wait to see it.
Thank you.
Sean, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that are into art and who might even want to get into the fine arts. Would you have any advice for these people?
Yeah, sure. And especially, a lot of times growing up, kids talk about wanting to be artists, and it's kind of like, oh, well, how are you going to support yourself, or how are you going to make a living? I can't tell you how many times for me I'd be like, oh, I'm going to study fine art or this, and then people would come back and be like, and then what are you going to do for money, or what's your fallback, or what's your job? But, really, it's, if you need it, if you have that passion to be an artist, and you just know that it's something that it's like, it's in you, then you have to pursue it and take it as serious as possible. Be persistent, be devoted, don't let all of that stuff, cloud your judgment, and just put your heart and soul into it and work at it, and overcome any type of negative opposition. Learn the most you can learn. Study about artists in the past. Learn about how to see the world differently. How to explore your own personal vision as an artist and incorporate that into your work. And if you can be self-taught, that's great. If not, and going to school's, an important thing for you. I go to the Academy of Art, University of San Francisco, and, it's a brilliant school, and it really nails down, all the foundations of how to draw or paint and see things in life and break it down into value and color and whatnot, and it really helps refine your skills. So, just get a game plan and stick with it, but know that, the number one thing is for you to be devoted and totally persistent in just doing what you need to do to become an artist because you have to, not because you want to, you know?
Yeah, that's always best to do it that way. Could you tell us again your email address so those who didn't get it the first time will get it now, hopefully, in case they're interested in looking you up?
Sure, I hope so. It's www.supernova.deviantart.com. And my personal email is eninecii@gmail.com.
Wow, thanks a lot. Thank you for so much for being on my show. I'm so looking forward to owning some of your artwork in the future.
All right. Thank you so much. It's been a complete pleasure, and I had a great time, and I appreciate your questions. I thought they were really, really some really good questions, and yeah, I think we can work something out. I'm sure I can get you a Valis original.
That's great. That's great. Good luck, Sean.
Thank you so much. Best of luck to you, too.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Well, you know, that was really, really informative on the artist side of looking at things. I'm ready to take callers in if anyone out there needs some answers that I could help them with today. As we are waiting for someone to call, I thought I'd tell you a little story about when I was in Vegas for 3 months. Out there working. I had, you know, various jobs out there, working for hotels as well as private parties and also nursing homes as well. And I remembered a gig on Valentine's Day at one of the nursing homes. And an old woman came and sat down next to me, and I was reading her palm at the time. And after I read her poem, I asked her if she had any questions. And she says, well, you know, when will I find true love? And I asked her how old, you know, was she? And she replied she was 97. And folks, I couldn't believe she was looking for love at that age. Well, that says it all, that you're never too old for love. I responded to her saying, well, how old are the men that you're looking for? She goes, well, I'm looking for older men, of course. And I go, well, an older man at that age is really not going to do much for you. I suggest you go for a younger guy. She goes, well, in my day, we never went for younger guys. We always went for older men. And I go, yeah, well, that's then and now is now. And I think a guy in his 80s would do just fine for you. So she agreed and she walked away. And then I had a gentleman come and sit down next to me. And his first thing was, when am I going to die, you know? And I'm like, well, is your insurance up or anything? Because I really don't see you going anywhere. And he goes, oh, that's okay then. I'm all right then. And I was like, okay. I have many experiences on the road meeting different people. It's all good experiences because I make it fun out there. A lot of people have the wrong idea about fortune telling. But really it's to have fun and, you know, it's mystifying and exciting, and people always like to hear about themselves. So, I love to entertain people all over, as well. Also, I'd like to tell you, you can reach me if you plan on having any sort of private party or event. You can reach me on my email address at gypsyspel4you@aol.com. Again, it's gypsyspel4you@aol.com. You know, you could also check me out on my website if you'd like to hire me through that. It's www.gigmaster.com/fortuneteller/gypsy. So that's www.gigmaster.com/fortuneteller/gypsy. Now, for those of you who have more of a private issue and would like to talk to me in private, my total free call is 1-866-225-7417. Now, the call is free. You're just paying for my services, which is $25 for 15 minutes. I do take Visa or MasterCard or check. And I'll give you that number again. It's 1-866-225-7417. And we're still waiting for some callers to call in. And I'd like to say that with all the election going on, I've been hearing a lot of tension about worrying about who's going to be the next president. And I have to say this, that it doesn't matter who is going to be the next president. It matters that we all stick together and care for each other and make this country work better than what it has been. I've been seeing a lot of people being more selfish and not looking out for other people but themselves. And I feel that if we all keep together as a team, we're stronger as a country. If there's anyone out there that would like to call in, please feel free to call in now. I'd like to also say that I once did a gig in Manhattan, and it was by an illustrating company, and they were throwing a Halloween party, and I thought it was just great. I walk in there, and everyone is dressed so great in their costumes. They were so creative, you know. I felt like, oh, for once, I'm not just the only one in a costume. And this guy happened to greet me to show me where I would be to perform. And he was dressed in, I would say, fishnet stockings, all in black. And he had a mini skirt on. And he had a long-haired wig, and he looked really, really sexy, believe it or not, being a guy. But he had the body to wear it, and we had all these stairs to go up to get to where I was going to perform. And as we're going up the stairs, he's bleeding, and I'm looking at this guy in this girl's outfit, and I'm saying to myself, wow, this guy looks hot in this outfit. It's unbelievable what I'm thinking, you know, because it was a guy being in a girl's outfit. I was like, wow, this is different, you know. And once I got to where I was going, there was all kinds of lovely and talented people. So I got to perform there and tell everyone's fortune, and that was fun, and I couldn't believe that one of the ladies there that I did, I mean, she was very good looking and had a very young spirit and was very, very young looking in the body and her face. And I really thought she was an older woman of 48. Come to realize that she was in her 70s, I just could not believe how great of shape this woman was for her age. And, you know, she had said to me, oh, you know, I'm really looking for an older guy, someone that I can relate to, you know, and do you see that happening? And I'm looking at her like, you know, with someone that being so young, why would she want an older guy? But I told her she would still see a younger guy, but not as young as she's been dating. So I think we have a caller online. Is there anyone online?
Yes, I'm here.
Hello.
Hi, Gypsy. Can you hear me?
Oh yes, now I can. Hi.
Hi. I was wondering, you can probably help me with something. Maybe you can see what my daughter's been up to.
Okay.
My daughter's, you know, a little over 21, you know, a couple years older, and I just wonder, you know, we've lost something along the way through the years because she lived with her father for a while, and I'm just wondering if you... She just doesn't come to talk to me. She doesn't, you know, ever call me or anything. And I just wonder why she has to hide everything from me. I really have tried so hard to be, you know, close with her and see, you know, be a part of her life. But she still keeps me out of it. And it's just a shame, you know, how much you try to and it doesn't work.
Yes, well, you know, I'm feeling that, you know, she's going through a change in herself, you know. She's really trying to, I guess, be more independent and make her own decisions. Not realizing that you could help her in many ways, see, you know, the direction that she needs to go. But I think that because of the separation, She's trying to do this on her own. Have you come across as more of a friend than a mother?
Yeah, I've tried to be more of a friend than a mother, but yeah, and then she does those little digs, you know, why do you want to lecture me on this? I shouldn't have called or something like that. And you know, it's almost like there's no choice but to be the mom at some times and try to tell her what's good for her, and I don't mean to do that, but yeah, I have tried to be a friend, and I think that, you know, she does call me a little bit more than what she used to, but it's still just not enough. I know that there's some things going on in her life that she should share with me.
Right.
I just worry about her being like that. You know, I guess it's an emptiness thing that maybe it bothers me even more, but I don't even know how much kids call you after they've left home and after they become 21. I don't really know, but it just doesn't seem like I hear from them enough.
Well, you know, I have a son, and he just recently moved out and got married, and he lives 10 minutes from me, and I, you know, it's rare that we talk, only when, you know, we're going to get together here and there, but it's not like he calls me every day or anything like that, you know. But daughters usually are closer to their moms. But I feel that she really is trying to soul search herself and make her own decisions and be more independent, you know. But I feel that in the couple of years that will appear, she will realize that, yeah, you know, you are there for her, and, yeah, it's okay to talk to you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're reaching out to her, Well, that's all you can really do is reach out to her and let her know that you're there.
Right.
Because, you know, you love her, and I'm sure you told her that, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that you care about her, and she just needs to, I guess, get herself together where she doesn't feel rebellious to talk to you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that takes some growing up. You know, but I feel like in a couple of years, you know, she will start getting closer and closer to you. As long as you're reaching out to her, I don't see how she could not, you know?
Right. Well, yeah, I guess you're right. I didn't think about it as an independence kind of a thing. It, to me, I put myself in her shoes, some of the things that she's going through, and wonder why she doesn't just reach out and cry, you know, Mom, you know, why is this happening to me, and that sort of thing, but she doesn't.
Does she talk to your husband, you know, your ex-husband about that?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
I think he knows a little bit more about it, about her goings-on, about, than I do.
Right.
And, maybe, you know, between him hearing things, maybe he feels that it's her business and shouldn't be. Maybe he thinks that I know. I don't really know. I don't really talk to him that much. But
oh, I can understand that. I can understand that. Well, you know, you do have a very good point about this. You know, you're concerned about your daughter, and you know she's going through something, And, you know, when you're a mother, you worry. That's part of the job, basically. And, as, you know, as long as you keep reaching out, letting her know that you're there whenever she needs you, I really feel that in a couple of years, she will start reaching out to you because she's grown more now. She's more secure with herself. She knows she can make her own decisions, but yet, you know, it's always good to get an outside opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, you know, from someone you trust, and I'm sure she trusts you deep inside, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's nice to know.
Yeah, I feel that. Don't you? Don't you feel that in a way she does trust you to a certain level?
Yeah, except that, you know, the distance in between weeks that I hear from her, it just, that kind of scares you.
Yeah, well, that's when she's going through her difficult time and she's busy. I see her to be very social. Is she very social?
Yes. Mm-hmm, you got that right.
You know, and does she have a boyfriend?
She did have a boyfriend that lived nearby, and I guess that sort of put a few digs at me, you know, if she's that close by. Why don't they, you know, come over more often and visit? Now she's got a new one, which she didn't tell me about, but I kind of approached her about it, and so she finally told me. I guess she was embarrassed because he's like 10 years older, and she didn't want me to know that. I don't know why, and that's another thing. It's like, why does she assume that I would be bothered by the things that she would tell me? It's like she has to hold everything in, and it just hurts me that she can't just let it out. I don't want to see her hold it in.
Right, right. Well, maybe she's just the type to hold it in, you know. That's just the way she is. But maybe also she's afraid of you, you know, not agreeing with her.
Right.
You know, and that she's seeing an older guy. Maybe she feels that you would, you know, be disappointed in her, and it's better you didn't know, you know?
Mm-hmm. But that's so wrong, because I, you know, the things that she's doing, it's okay with me. If only we could just get to that point where, you know, she would just open up a little more. And I mean, she did tell me, and I said, you know, that's okay, as long as you're happy. I keep telling her that.
Right. And what's her remark on that?
I don't remember that she said anything in particular about that. I think she felt relieved, though, that she was able to say it, and that's where I want her to be, is relieved.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know what? That's gonna, the more you show of that, the more, you know, the more she's going to get closer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just got to show her that, you know, it's not what she's doing, it's what makes her happy. And as long as she doesn't hurt anybody, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's a breakthrough right there. And it's just going to take more time, you know? You just got to let her know constantly that, you know, whatever makes her happy makes you happy. And you just care about her, you know? And you want to be part of her life and share her joys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you know, we can try so much for the people that we love, but it's up to them to reach out back, you know. I know a woman who loved her son so much and did everything, and he just wrote her off for no reason and won't talk to her since he got married. And it's sad because, you know, she gave her heart and soul, her whole life to her son, and he just writes her off, you know. No one could tell what the future's going to bring, but we could try to just hold things together as a family. And I really feel that in time, she's really going to come about and be closer to you in time.
Oh, well, thanks. You know, like that other person that you know, it seems like the more that you do for someone, the more they run the other way or something. It's not like the one you try so hard with. you get the
right
opposite.
Well, you know, sometimes that does work like that. You know, there's all kinds of people out there, and some people are afraid, and then they do that, and then there's all reasons for it. But basically, you know, you can only do what you feel in your heart is right, and as long as you feel that, then it is right.
Mm-hmm.
And if the other person is not responding the way you want them, well, that's all you can do, really.
Right.
You know, you could just let her know, here I am, you know, I'm here for you. As long as I'm alive, I'm here for you. And I want the best for you. And, you know, see where that goes. You know, eventually, she seems like a very smart girl.
Mm-hmm.
And that she learns very quickly about things. Am I right? Does she pick up fast on things? Well, then she should definitely pick up that, you know, you're true to your feelings, and that, you know, she will open up eventually.
Okay.
You know.
Well, thanks so much.
Well, you know, I really hope that I've helped you.
Yes. Yes, I definitely never thought about the independence thing, I guess because now she's over 21, and that part, it didn't even enter my mind, actually.
Now, also, is she away in school?
Well, she went back to school for some specialized courses. And,
okay.
She did tell me about that a couple times, and I've tried to give her some money for the schooling, and I think I surprised her with that, and she liked it.
Well, yeah. Everybody likes when they get money.
Right. So,
I think so that's great.
Yeah, I think she's trying to change her life for the better, and I thought maybe, you know, she's got some things to be ashamed of, and again, I don't want her to bear that subconscious, you know, torture of being guilty or shamed or any of that. I want her to be open and honest and share and not feel, you know, held back by all those negative things that can go on.
Right. Well, sometimes we can create our own walls when there's no need for walls, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a defense system that we choose to do, and so That's why some people do that. But, you know, there's no wall that can't be broken.
Mm.
And I think that, you know, in time, she'll, you know, lower her walls more and more as, you know, time goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And she sees how you're reaching out constantly to her, you know.
Right.
Do you have any other children?
I'm sorry, what?
Do you have any other children?
Oh, yes, I do. I have other children. And well, the sons, I don't hear from them all that often, but the daughter calls, the other daughter calls all the time. And but the boys are somewhat in that same situation, but I understand that that probably comes with being a boy or son.
Right.
They're not
right.
Boys. They're all over 21. They're all grown. And even with all that, you'd think that I wouldn't have an emptiness feeling because I have so much to keep track of. But they're, you know, they are busy with their other halves or children or child to be born, whatever.
Oh,
and,
nice.
Yeah. So it's just I understand where they're coming from. They're sons that are working and busy. It's a different kind of a situation where you think a daughter would call you more. That's all.
Right, right. Well, I don't have any daughters, so I really don't know. But yeah, it's true about sons. Usually, when they go off on their own, they get into their own world, and they work hard, and they have to do whatever they need to do. And, you know, once in a while they'll call you when they need you, and that's a good thing because you always like to be needed, especially being a mom.
Mm-hmm.
So your other daughter does call you a lot more.
Yes.
Well, you know, that's a really good thing. Are the two sisters close as well?
Well, they're getting a little closer because they happen to be staying in the same house together, and which is the ex's house. And
right.
And he's not there very often. He's trying to sell that house. And they're both there together, living their different lives that they have. I guess the one daughter, she watches the other one's pup and walks it for her. And, of course, they've gone out a couple times now that they're both 21 or older. And so that's the thing, is I'm hearing things from the younger daughter who's telling me about her sister. And
right.
I'm not supposed to be hearing these things, but I am. So I can't even go to her. She says, don't tell her that I told you that. I'm hearing all these
yeah,
things.
Yeah, well, at least you got some info, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's important to at least know what she's doing, even though she's not telling you. And it's good that you're also close to your daughter as well because, you know, at least you're getting that. At least you're feeling that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that, you know, in time, your daughter is going to come about being close to both of you, you know, her sister and you as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I think that right now she's really trying to soul search who she really is before she can feel close to anyone else, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She has to know herself first, and I think that's what she's really doing.
Okay.
You know, as far as this older guy, well, you know, I don't see her being with him forever, but, you know, She likes to develop and learn through smart men, and you know, that's a good thing. She
mm-hmm.
will learn certain things through him, but I guess eventually she'll move on.
Mm-hmm.
And
you know, sort of security.
Excuse me?
He'll probably give her some sort of security and direction. Focus
yeah, on. maybe. You don't know anything about this guy, right?
Not yet. Not really. He's got some sort of restaurant.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, you know, I'm sure your daughter will keep you in tune on what's going on with him and her, and it give you some idea of what's going on. And I mean, if you feel the need to say something, you can always say things in a roundabout way so it doesn't offend her and she feels that she could talk to you about it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes we all have to walk on glass sometimes, talking to people to get them to listen.
Okay. I guess I should try that a little bit more.
Yeah, I think it will work, really. Mm-hmm. I think that she'll come along and, you know, I think that she'll be close to you. I'm pretty sure of it. Just give her, like, 3 to 4 years. She'll be much different than what she is right now.
Okay.
You know, it's always hard when you're 21 because, you know, you're old enough now, but, you know, you're just starting out. You're not experienced. You don't know which direction really you want to be in.
Mm-hmm.
I think you don't feel that way until you're at least 25, and you know by 25 what you're doing, where you're going. You know, most people are anyway.
Right. Yeah, I think so. I just
think that it's just a matter of time.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Well, you're very welcome, and good luck to you, and I really wish you a lot of luck.
Thanks so much.
And thanks so much for listening.
Sure. You sound great. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay, bye. Again, I'd like to give out my website, which is www.gigmaster.com/fortuneteller/gypsy. And if you'd like to reach me, it's GYPSYSPEL, the letter 4, YOU, @AOL.com. Now, my personal number is 1-866-225-7417. The call is free, but I do charge $25 for 15 minutes. We do take Visa, MasterCard, and check. So if you ever feel like calling, please do. I'd like to tell you about our guest next week. Her name is Susan Davis. She is an owner and creator of Entertainers Plus. It is well-renowned entertainment agency. So we'll have a chance to talk to her about her agency and what it's all about. And until then, please be good to all the animals because they are all God's creation, just like us. And we all need to work together to be more in harmony with each other. So be safe and sweet dreams and good night.